Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com Radio.
First and goal at the Dallas 8. Brady takes the snap. Looks, fires, end zone.
Yeah!
Touchdown! Oh, yeah! Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire. 22 seconds left to play.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepard.
Zoe turning into the Joe Rose of the old Miami broadcast team. And you know Gino's going, shut up, you. I love Zoe. Unbelievable. Hey, everybody, how you doing? It's the Pete Shepard Show here on Patriots.com between from now until 6 o'clock tonight.
Hello.
Hello. Exactly. How's everybody doing? Man, it's a freaking zoo down here today. People from all over the world are here, for crying out loud. 90% of them have no idea what they're talking about. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. There's only about 10% that don't know what they're talking about. You know how it goes here sometimes. And although I did watch all the press conferences today on the NFL Network live and listened, of course, on Patriots.com earlier, saw the shows on Comcast earlier today as well. And it's all very interesting. And as usual, I will start with a non-Patriot thing because I do have to get it's I don't know why this stuff bothers me, but it just does. It just, again, it shows you the lack. It shows you the laziness or I don't know, or it's just someone failing to just not looking at all the numbers. But I forget what host it was on NFL Network this morning. And then he's before he cut it to Willie McGinnis and whomever, I think Willie's doing a great job, by the way, and not just because he's an expatriate, he's just doing a great job. But the guy hosting, it wasn't Fran Charles or Heath Evans or somebody else this morning, I forget who it was, who said, yeah, and as far as those offenses winning the championships, unless you're the Patriots, well, that theory's been shot to hell. And I'm sitting here going, what? See, that's the kind of statement that really, you know, it gnaws at me because I just throw my hands up and say, what the hell are you watching? San Francisco's defense didn't do a whole hell of a lot to stop New Orleans. New Orleans stopped New Orleans. They turned the ball over five times. They lost three fumbles. Breeze threw for 463 yards on that alleged number 2-3, whatever the hell it was, defense, which I knew he would. Shredded it. They just turned the ball over five times, three fumbles that they lost. Now, the Giants were a little better. I'll give them a little more credit because they sacked Aaron Rodgers. But again, the Packers lost three fumbles in that game. It's not they had all these great defensive schemes and Rodgers couldn't find anybody and that kind of stuff. He threw for enough yards. He's throwing for more. Threw for 263 yards. They fumbled the ball three times. They outrushed the Giants in that game. And Rodgers had a lot to do with it, but they outrushed the Giants in that game. Unfortunately, they outfumbled the Giants three times, running backs, including Rodgers, who hadn't lost one all year long. And they had 6 to 8 drops, depending on what you want to believe with your own eyes, in that game. Wasn't the Giants put up this like big defensive scheme against Green Bay? Green Bay stopped Green Bay. New Orleans stopped New Orleans, for the most part. Each team lost three fumbles. So please spare me that some of these defenses are going to, the best defense we saw all weekend was right here across the street, not even across the hallway from me. But, nobody wants to hear that because even though the Broncos were the number one rated rushing team all year, the Patriots held them in check big time, and nobody wants to give them any credit because Tebow was a quarterback, and I understand all that. But you can't play it both ways. You can't just say, you know, they stink and then this and that, and when they play a real quarterback, it's going to be different. You can't do that because when they went to Denver back on December 18th, a month ago, you had a lot of these national nitwits say the same thing. The Patriots can't stop anybody. They won't be able to stop Tebow. They can't handle the option. They can't do this. They can't do that. Can't, won't, never will, you know. And, of course, it backfired on them as usual. The Patriots win by 3 touchdowns. And after the first quarter, held the Broncos in check for 86 yards, which, again, nobody talked about. All they talked about was the 167 in the first quarter. They forget there's four quarters in a game, as most of the national nitwits do, and some of the local ones too. Everybody is so quick to judge in the first 3 or 4 minutes. So that just gnaws at me to think that people out there, there's still people in the national media who think there was like these actual big-time defenses, or the Giants played this like incredible scheme against Green Bay. Green Bay dropped 6 to 8 passes, and they fumbled the ball. Their running backs fumbled the ball 3 times. And there were a couple bad calls in that game as well, on both sides, by the way. So, you know, spare me. And as far as San Francisco stopping stopping New Orleans, that's just delusional. Didn't happen. It didn't happen. I mean, I'm sure New Orleans would have rather had a few more rushing yards in that game, but you're down 17-0 because of fumbles. That's what happens. And it still, with five turnovers, still took every last breath and a great throw by Alex Smith, which it was, to Davis to win that game. So do not be under the illusion that the Giants and San Francisco put up this big-time defensive front. I thought the Giants played a little better on defense, but the Packers beat themselves in that game. A big part of it was the Packers beating themselves. I'm not taking anything away from the Giants overall, but the Packers had a big part in that game, dropping 6 to 8 passes and fumbling 3 times. It'd be one thing, you know, if Aaron Rodgers threw 5 interceptions and, you know, he was confused, this, that, and the other thing, as we've seen other quarterbacks in the past, I'd give it a lot more credit. But it wasn't that way. The Giants got out-rushed in that game. Rodgers only passed for 268 yards or something like that in that game. And Eli had a better game. I mean, there's no getting around that. Eli had a better game than Rodgers. But the Packers fumbled their way to a loss in that game and fumbled and dropped passes away to a loss. If 4 of those 6 passes or 4 or 5 of those 8 passes are caught and maybe one less fumble, probably a different game. Well, that's why I always say you can't do that. You got to take care of the football. That's why last year when Algie Crumpler dropped that touchdown pass in the end zone for the Patriots, that was huge. Even though it wasn't a fumble, it was a huge play at that time that they didn't come away with 7 points. Huge play. All right. Now on to the Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens. And I found it amusing. We talked about it at the end of yesterday's show about Ed Reed going on Sirius Radio yesterday and making those comments. And if anybody out there doesn't think that it has been a distraction, it most certainly is. By the way, the injury report should be out soon, Kev. I just want to see if, Brady was not at the media portion of practice today. He certainly was in the locker room today. He was available. He was at his press conference this afternoon. So I wouldn't read too much into it. We'll get the injury report in a couple of seconds and get it to you. But if it's for anything, it's probably, as it's been reported by several, so it's probably just a resting type of day for whatever reason. But we'll find out officially in a second if he was there. Because sometimes, just because you're not there for the media portion of the workout doesn't mean you wouldn't be at practice. Sometimes you have other media commitments during this week. There's a lot of helter-skelter and mandatory commitments that a lot of players have to do for the national media. So we'll see. We'll see. But those comments by Ed Reed, and it was, I don't know if you guys watched the press conferences today or heard them. We'll play probably clips of them throughout the day. Of the response is from a lot of the offensive guys and some of the defensive guys too. Terrell Suggs, Ray Lewis, you saw Ray Rice, and Joe Flacco. And I just thought out of the 5 or 6 Ravens that I saw speak today, they had to spend half the time trying to shake off the Ed Reed comments. Which I just don't understand. And again, watching my favorite comedy show, Abbott and Costello, this morning. Oh no, sorry, it was Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith. And Stephen A., who I actually like a lot, I think he's very entertaining. I don't always agree with what he says about a lot of things, but he's entertaining, and he thinks it was a good thing. And of course, Bayless disagrees. I don't know how anybody in the NFL or anybody who's dealt with professional athletes before. In this type of situation, in a championship week type of situation, I don't care if it's NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, Stanley Cup playoffs, you don't make statements like the statements Ed Reed made on Sirius Radio. You don't. You don't say that stuff publicly. I told you yesterday, I was shocked because he usually doesn't give press conference. He doesn't usually say a lot. But I have a feeling this is a much bigger problem in Baltimore than most people want to believe. I think it's a problem. I think it's going to be a distraction. I really do. And if you heard Joe Flacco, the problem with Joe Flacco is he's never won a championship. And he keeps whining, and he even said today in his press conference, there was one point where he said, well, it doesn't matter if I win a ring and I'm holding up a trophy, people will still have the same attitude about me as they have all along. I mean, that is, it's childish. Joe Flacco doesn't have a right to start saying about not being treated fairly or being compared to anybody because you haven't won the big one yet. You haven't. You've been to a couple and lost. And that's just the AFC Championship game. You don't have the right to compare yourself with anybody yet that's won a Super Bowl. Certainly not after this year, which was your worst year. And looking into your numbers, my friend, Mr. Flacco, not only did you have 12 interceptions against 20 touchdown passes, you fumbled the ball 10 times. Do people realize that? Joe Flacco fumbled the ball 10 times this year. 10! And lost a majority. I got to look it up. Lost a majority of them. I was trying to find that stat today, how many he lost. But the fact is, he fumbled, as Stephen A. would, the fact of the matter is, you fumbled the ball 10 times. Now, I haven't heard that stat anywhere in the national media. Not once have I heard Flacco's numbers come up like that. Not once have I heard him mention how his numbers have gone down dramatically this year. Completion percentage, touchdown to interception ratio, fumbles, 10. So, I mean, what Ed Reed said yesterday, 100% dead on balls accurate. We all know that. But you don't say it publicly before an AFC championship game. 5 days before an AFC title game. You just don't. I mean, not in a million years could I imagine that happening here. I mean, it could have happened here very easily in 2009. We all know that. That's why I picked Baltimore to win that particular game. I just didn't, I know a lot of people were feeling that way about that team. They just, it was just, and this team is completely different. Still today, I'm still waiting to see any 2010 highlights out there. Nothing. I saw 2009 again a million times. Nothing from 2010. It's like that game against Baltimore never existed. Absolutely cracks me up. Freaking hysterical amnesia from the national media regarding 2010 and the Patriots' victory over the Baltimore Ravens. With Gronkowski, with Hernandez, with Welker. And Deion Branch's first game back after the Moss trade, he's the one that had the biggest game of all for the Patriots that day. But all you see is 2009, and you see Rice and 83 yards in the first play, and you see Brady get strip sacked. And all is that game is so irrelevant. And I feel the same way about 2010, irrelevant. But as I said yesterday, at least that game you had three guys who are on the team this year that weren't there in 2009 on offense. Somebody really has to give me, I want somebody from NFL Network or ESPN, and you can call collect, I don't care. Kevin will accept the charges. And give me one reason why you have chosen to ignore 2010 and don't say, because 2009 was the playoff game. Because, that's the only loss the Patriots have ever had in their franchise history to Baltimore, which is also an irrelevant stat. Just like when the Patriots went out to Denver and I said those numbers are irrelevant. Tom Brady was 1-6 lifetime against Denver. Irrelevant. Irrelevant. You know, the only time that number came into fruition this year a little bit was when the Jets lost to Philadelphia. So I think they're 0-9 all time down there. They got hammered. But I'm still waiting for the explanation. And I am absolutely convinced that there is that this Baltimore Raven team is in for a serious, serious, serious butt whipping coming up here on Sunday. Now, I'm not saying 45-10, but I've now upped my my, and I'll give you my, my lines tomorrow, whatever. By the way, the Xbox results will be tomorrow. I did the Patriots Denver game last, Patriots Baltimore game last night. I'm not going to tell you until tomorrow. I'll simulcast simulate the San Fran Giants game tonight.
What a tease.
Yeah, it is. Well, I'll tell you, that's what I do. That's what I do. But there's a problem. Baltimore, you have a problem. You have got a problem. Because this is obviously going to be, I think it's going to be a distraction. I don't think there's any way around it. And you basically have your defensive guys calling out Cam Cameron in the offense, calling out your quarterback. And then you have Rice saying today. Anybody catch this? I love this. How many times have you ever heard the Patriots say a stat? How many times have you ever heard a New England Patriot say this? Kind of a quote before a game. Ray Rice, I need to have 25 touches. I need to have 25 touches. Can you imagine if anybody here on this Patriot team ever said anything like that? How many times you hear these guys, I don't care what status the team is in, except for when they say, I need to play better or I need to coach better. I have never heard a Patriot player, and correct me if I'm wrong, who said, I need to do this. I need to be the man, is what Ray Rice said.
Everybody just do your job.
Exactly. Ray Rice said today, I need to get 25 touches to be this team to be competitive. I mean, are you kidding me? Stunned. Did anybody bring that up today, Kevin, at all? Not surprised. No offense to my colleagues, but those are the kind of things that come out. I mean, that to me, the red flag goes up. And this was after all the BS about defending Flacco. Every one of these guys spoke about 15 minutes, and 10 of the minutes was used to defend Ed Reed. I mean, to blow off Ed Reed's comments. Well, it's no big deal. It's just Ed being Ed. Well, Ed's not being Ed. Ed doesn't say much ever. But think about that. You had your Baltimore Ravens. I'm sure we'll play that later. I know we have Ray Rice, right, Kev? We have Rice somewhere. We'll play it.
We'll find him.
We'll find him at some point. I was thinking when he said that, I'm like, he just said, I need 25 touches, basically, for this team to be competitive. See if I got to find the exact quote here. Oh, here it is. Quote, anyone will tell you that keeping a quick striking offense off the field is a game, Rice said. Rice said Baltimore has a fair chance. This is what he said. Rice said Baltimore has a fair chance of winning if he gets 25 touches. Holy crap. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Can you imagine somebody on the Patriots saying something? Imagine Gronkowski saying, we have a great chance to win, but I need to get 10 catches and, 90 plus yards. Oh my God. People say, and people like will shrug off those quotes like it doesn't mean anything. It's the attitude of the Baltimore Ravens. And you know what that says to me? We don't want Joe to throw. We don't want Joe to throw because Joe can't make throws in big games, in AFC championship games. That's why they haven't won. I'm just stunned. See, that's the kind of quote that if a Patriot ever said that, would be leading NFL Network, which I have on in here on ESPN right now, all over headline. Ray Rice says it. I need to have 25 touches for us to have a fair chance to win. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Anyway, it's the Pete Shepard Show. We're doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Aaron Wilson from the Carroll County. What is it? Carroll County what? I forget.
Carroll County Times.
Carroll County Times will join me at 5 o'clock. He's a beat writer for the Ravens. Can't keep track of all these. I can't read.
I'm going to get Rice for you in 1 sec, Pete.
Okay, great. Well, he'll join me and see how he feels about it. But I'm telling you, these quotes that came out of the Baltimore locker room today, I'm blown away. And there is no question that Flacco's pissed. He didn't come out and say, but the way, and have you guys played Joe Flacco today either?
Yeah, but we can do him after Ray.
Okay. I want you to hear this before we start going to phone calls and emails, because I want you to hear it in the context so you don't think I'm making this up. And it's, man, both guys don't talk, they don't say it, they're not like malicious, like, you know, but I'm just telling you, the red flag goes up. Here's Ray Rice.
Playoffs, played in every single game but one, you know, and that's the Super Bowl. So with that being said, the playoffs every year is a nail biter because, I mean, we had a winning record. And, you know, we were still end up like the fifth seed. You know, this year we end up the second seed. Obviously, we took care of business. But, I mean, we would have 11, 12 wins and end up the fifth seed and had to be on the road every game. So every year has been tough. You know, Hold on. All right, let me go by order. You got it.
When you remember your first preseason game, I think you and Jared Mayo had a little collision.
Yeah.
And also, on the short yardage from the other day, were there some things where there's a hole maybe you didn't see now that you watched the tape that had benefits?
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's a hole I didn't see, but as a running back, you don't want to, you know, not miss an opportunity. First off, we're playing two different defenses. As my first preseason game as a rookie, I actually wore number 39. So it's been a while back, but obviously tremendous respect for Jerod Mayo and the linebacker he's becoming and he's became in this league. He's one of the best that, you know, we'll see all year. And but as a running back, you know, you want to live for the big situation, you know. Against Cincinnati, you know, I had the 3rd-and-1. They went for a touchdown. You know, you just got to knuckle up in them situations. And, you know, anybody will tell you, every running back will tell you, if it's a yard, don't matter if a guy's unblocked. We want to have that opportunity. So, yes, as a running back, you know, I would have loved to have that opportunity back. You know, with that being said, we got to the next week. And I don't care how we win the game, you know, we're back in the next week. So, I mean, it's just a great opportunity for us to, you know, do it all over again.
Several experts say that when you say, how do you stop the Patriots offense? Several experts have said, with a healthy dose of Ray Rice, if Ray Rice controls the game, you keep them off the field. Have you thought at all about that? That so many people say, hey, if the Ravens can run it effectively, that's the best way to control the Patriots offense?
Well, you know what? To an extent, you know, that's very true. You know, anybody will tell you when you can keep, you know, a quick strike and offense off the field, you know, it limits the game. But with that being said, I think we have a great balance on this team. You know, I think, you know, when we run it effectively, it sets up the pass. When we pass effectively, it sets up the run. So in order to keep Tom Brady up the field, I'm going to just say we have to simply execute at a high level. We have to play championship football. And championship football, it doesn't matter how you win it. You know, you just have to execute effectively. And I know I'll be a major part in this game plan. You know, sometimes, you know, the amount of carries over the amount of touches I get is overlooked. I think if I touch the ball, you know, 20 to 25 times, you know, it's a fair chance. I don't care if I got to catch it 10 and run it 15. It doesn't matter, you know. And, you know, with Joe doing his thing, we executing at a high level, whether he got to throw a hitch or, you know, a long ball to somebody. We just got to execute and, you know, obviously score points when our defense, you know, does get them a 3-and-out.
Now, again, it's not a malicious-sounding quote by any stretch of the imagination, and I understand where Ray Rice is going. But it just sounds a bit selfish, and maybe he didn't mean it to come off that way. But what you're talking about, a fair chance for us to win is if I get 25 touches. I don't know. It throws up another red flag. When I heard it this morning, this afternoon, it was around 12:30, 12:45, can't believe it. The other stuff I understand. You know, run sets up the pass sets up the run. Well, that's generic. Everybody can say that. That's not a big deal. But you know, instead of just taking the high road and saying, look, we just all, we have to execute on both sides of the ball, and we have to, you know, we have to run the ball effectively and pass the ball effectively and set up a good balance. That's what you do. You start using, I need to get 25 touches. I don't know. Red flag goes up in my book. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. That's the number for the Ace Ticket Hotline. Here's Brandon in California up for us today with Pete Shepard. Hi, Brandon.
Yeah, how's it going, Pete?
Good, Brandon. How are you?
I'm fine. Well, at first, I wasn't going to say anything about Ray Rice until I heard what you just said right now. He had his 25 touches last game. He didn't do anything.
Didn't wait. Well, he had 21 carries. I think he had, I don't know, I could, and, I don't know if he had four. Yeah, four. He had 60 yards rushing the ball, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, him having 25 touches is going to really play a part.
Brandon, hang on one second. I just want to read the injury report for everybody. So Tom Brady definitely did not participate in practice today, and it says left shoulder. But it really, I think people should not read anything into this at all because from what I understand, it's just getting some rest for a day. The rest of these guys were all limited today. Deion Branch, Marcus Cannon, Chung, Fletcher, Hernandez, Adebo, Love, Mankins, Ninkovich, Solder, Spikes, Vollmer, Welker, and White. And full participation were Arrington, Conley, and Slater. So, but Tom Brady did not participate today. But, again, from what I've been told and reading, it's not a big deal. But go ahead, Brandon.
Oh, yeah. I was watching ESPN, and Spikes from the Chargers.
Yep.
The linebacker.
Yep.
He's been giving Ocho Cinco a lot of praise. Do you think there's a reason for that? Because, I mean, like, he's just been saying Ocho may have a big game.
Well,
I need to keep an eye out on Ocho.
Look, I hope he's right. I don't know. Like I said, I think I gotta look up, Kevin. I don't know if you can find it. I know you're doing a lot of things. But I think Ocho was targeted or was in the game for one offensive snap last week. I think that's all it was. Kevin said I'm right. He was only in the, I mean, Julian Edelman played more offense in that game.
Edelman got a lot of his reps.
Edelman got all the reps except for one. So I'm not sure. I don't know if it was I don't know if something happened during the week in practice or he said something, and he's always saying something, so it's hard to figure out what. Or if it's a disciplinary thing, which we haven't heard. I think that kind of stuff usually surfaces, so I'm not going to buy that. I think Edelman had a better week of practice, and that's why he played. That's what Bill does all the time. So maybe this week will be different. And as far as having a big game, I'll just settle for a couple of catches, Brandon. I mean, I'm way past thinking big game.
I'm trying to believe that they're just trying to save him for like just one game, and then they're just gonna like have out like a new game plan and just crush him.
Well, you're not alone in that theory. I had one guy in Waco, Texas, tell me he had all this stuff and. You know, that it's going to be, Ocho, wait till the playoffs. Well, you know, last week, he was in for one snap, and Julian Edelman got all the other snaps. And so much so that Phil Simms at one point said, I can't believe the double-teaming Julian Edelman.
Yeah. Maybe they should switch his number to 82 so that, you know, they get confused on which ones.
I don't know the Patriots game plan this week. I don't know. I know if he's out there and the way Baltimore, plays defense, and it's not outstanding, especially on the road. And they're so overhyped on defense this year, it's ridiculous, particularly on the road. But they're going to have enough to handle with Gronk, Welker, and Hernandez. And Deion Branch as well, who torched them last year, not 2 years ago, last year for 98 yards. So,
and it has his first game.
Exactly, first game back. So the Ravens have a lot to worry about. And if Chad is on the field, if 85 is on the field, you can't ignore him because he still does have the speed and the capability of making a big play. We've only seen it twice this year.
Yeah, he hasn't been out there enough to make big plays. But that's it, Pete. Thanks a lot.
All right, my friend. Thanks a lot. Call back soon. 508-298-0398. Want to stay on the West Coast. Here's Johnny in California up next here on the Pete Shepard Show. Johnny.
How you doing, Pete?
Good, John. What's up?
Forgive me if it's a little loud. I'm at work right now.
Wow.
I have two things I wanted to talk to you about.
Yep.
Get your thoughts. First one is with San Francisco. My brother is a big Niners fan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I bring up the fact to him, you know, how the turnovers are what caused the losses. And he keeps insisting, he says, well, it's our defense that keeps causing these
No.
These turnovers.
No, they lost three fumbles. I mean, I'm not going to dismiss San Francisco's defense totally, but as I told you guys all last week, look at the offenses that San Francisco has gone up against. Not very good ones. I said I gave them the win in Detroit. That was their best win. But the other two offenses they went up against that were worth a damn were Dallas early in the season when Romo was decent and it was after the rib injury and they lost. And then they hung on to beat an Eagles team that threw for 416 yards on them when Michael Vick was healthy, and they blew it. Only thing was Philadelphia blew a 21-0 lead. Drew Brees threw for 463 yards against that San Francisco defense. 463 yards. And the only reason why they didn't rush more was because they got down 17-0 because they fumbled the ball, lost three fumbles. Yes, San Francisco had something to do with it. Yes, the Giants had a little bit to do with it in their game. But overall, you got to take care of the football. San Francisco did not do anything outstanding on defense to win that game. The Saints bumbled and fumbled their way to a loss for the most part.
So who mainly gets the credit for the fumbles? Is it the defense or is it the player not keeping control of the ball?
Well, I think the ultimate responsibility lies on the player. I think it's always that way. The player is responsible to hold on to the football. You know, look at Ridley last week for the Patriots. That's 2 weeks in a row he's fumbled. I mean, you know, I know you hit hard and stuff like that. And I know some fumbles when you're holding the ball out to your left or your right are much easier to strip than other. But it ultimately, to me, it's always been ultimately the player's responsibility. For fumbles. If San Francisco and the Giants had put up all these great defensive schemes and had picked off Drew Brees like five or six times, then it's a different story. But both Green Bay, they dropped 6 to 8 passes and fumbled, lost three fumbles. And the New Orleans Saints, almost the same thing. They turned the ball over five times. The Saints and the Packers, each lost three fumbles. I blame the player on offense.
Yeah. Okay, and then before my last question, I want to thank you. I've listened to your show every day. It's awesome.
Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate it.
My last question is do you think that with Reed and Rice's comments, do you think they could just be trying to make everyone believe that they don't believe in their team and trying to get some sort of mindset to the Patriots?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that theory as well, the motivational tactics. Ed Reed did this on purpose and stuff like that. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I think it's a symptom of something else that's wrong. I just don't think there's a lot of faith in Joe Flacco winning games like this. I really believe that. And Flacco's attitude is just one of – Flacco thinks he deserves some kind of, like, massive respect because he got into the playoffs a few years in a row. He hasn't done anything. He's never won a ring, and he cannot be considered a great quarterback or even in the elite quarterback status until he wins a ring. So I don't know why he's bitching and moaning and convention all the time or saying he gets no respect and nobody, you know, wants to believe in him. Well, nobody wants to believe in you because this year you had 12 picks and you fumbled the ball 10 times. And if you look at him in the game last week, and it's a microcosm of how he played this whole year, the guy is not good in the pocket. I mean, he almost invites you to sack him because he doesn't get away. So, I mean, you get pressure on him. He does not have the moves in the pocket that Brady does to sidestep and step up.
With all of his whining and stuff, he's just letting the media know that it's getting to him, which is, I don't know, wouldn't think that's very smart. You know, if it's bothering you, don't say anything. They're just going to keep on it.
I think it's a major problem. I think Ed Reed should have kept his mouth shut. I don't think it's doing anybody on the Ravens any good. There's enough distractions to go through during championship week like this than to worry about what your own team a teammate is saying about your offense, which he basically said stinks.
Yeah. I don't know. With a professional team, it seems just like there's a lot of immaturity there.
Well, I mean, you would think that wouldn't be the case because Ed Reed is such a, you know, I think obviously a future Hall of Famer, and they have a lot of good players on that Baltimore team, a lot of big names on that team. But that does not mean they're the same team they were a few years ago. It's not even close. I just don't understand why they must really, really be frustrated by what they saw last week and what they've seen on the road many times this year with Flacco, who's been terrible.
Absolutely.
So,
all right, John. All right, well, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate the call. 508-298-0398 is the A's Ticket Hotline. 508-298-0398. Now, again, all of that can go right down the toilet, my theory, if the Patriots fumble kickoffs and, you know, fumble the football themselves and do what the Saints did. You know, if a Ridley or a Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, who never fumbles, that kind of stuff. I just don't see it. This Patriot team, I'm telling you, the focus is there. And barring any major injuries in this game, they're going to win. They're going to win the game by 10 to 14 points, maybe more. But the more I keep hearing stuff come out of the Baltimore Ravens locker room, the more I go back and I watch, I know Houston's defense, third overall, that kind of thing. I still think the Patriots offensive line is better than or just as good as the Texans. So Suggs and company could not get a sack on Yates. I'm not saying, and as I say all the time, every game's different. It's because what happened last week doesn't mean it's going to happen this week. But the Ravens have not faced an offense like this at all. Not peaking at the right time like they are right now. This team has won 9 games in a row. The defense is coming together. They got Spikes, they got Chung back. It's never going to be great. But it was great last week for the most part against the number one rushing offense in the NFL. And they held them big time. So unless Joe Flacco swallows some kind of Joe Montana pill, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it. I just don't, and I respect the Ravens. I just don't think they're going to be able to keep up here. I think the mentality, I don't know if mentally they are ready for this game. I do think the distractions, I think the Ed Reed comments are going to cause it or a major distraction all week. I think it's going to be sitting in the back of Flacco's mind, and we'll hear from Joe later on. And I'm telling you, he said, there's no question it bothered him. How could it not? And he does bring some of that stuff on himself when he says last week publicly, it doesn't matter what I do, I'll never be respected like the Breezes and the Brady. I mean, yeah, because you haven't won a ring. That's why. Let's stay on the A's Ticket Hotline, going to head out to Denver, Colorado. Noel in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hey, Pete, how you doing?
Good. How's the did they have the funeral yet this week for the Broncos? I mean,
It's all good. I'm so happy to hear the same things coming out of Baltimore. You make me laugh with that Montana one. That was funny. Thanks. Hey, I got a question for you in a minute. Yeah. But we talk about the Patriots defense, and that's what the question is going to be about. And I'll hang up and listen to to your answer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the records, people aren't really looking. Patriots got they played so wonderful this year. When you consider that the teams that the Ravens have played are 97 wins and 111 losses.
I know.
Ours is 95 wins and 113 losses. Yeah, I don't know where they're getting the numbers.
Well, I said that. I believe if you look up all the numbers of all the teams who played winning records, I think it's out of the 32 teams, I think the number of teams that played a combined total with the team with a winning record schedule, I think was 3 out of 32. 3. But it's a great point, Noel, because no one will bring up what happened with Baltimore this year in that record. Nobody.
No, and I love it. The only real offensive threat they played all year, when you look at it, was San Diego.
And they got killed.
And they got murdered.
Yeah.
And you're right. Anything can happen on any given Sunday. But based on what I've seen the other night, I really believe that this defense has come an awful long way. And with Chung and Spikes back, this is a tough, tough, battle-tested team. And, I want to thank you for last week especially, listening to these Broncos fans was driving me nuts, and it was without listening to you every day, I'd be like, okay.
Well,
and I told my wife early on, I said, this is the best Patriots offense ever. And, may or may not be, but it's as good as any. I said, I don't see how anyone can beat us this year. And I didn't start to doubt myself until I listened to all these Denver fans last week, but that's what it is. Stats don't mean a thing.
Well, and stats mean something, but the problem is with the Denver people is they fail to look deep into the stats of Tim Tebow and that Broncos team. And on both sides of the ball, there were major, major flaws, particularly on offense. And if people just went back and seen the inept quarterbacks and inept offenses that they played for 6 weeks or 7 weeks in a row, and got on, and because of Prater hitting those big-time field goals during that stretch to bail sorry-ass Tebow out of so many of those games, and I mean, they the numbers, if you took the Tebow name off the back of his shirt and replaced it with Jones or Smith, he would have been left out of Denver. It would have been worse than what they did to Orton, because his numbers were worse, and they can look that up. It was in the Denver Post. I'm sure you saw it the other day, because I brought this up yesterday, or I brought it up Monday when I was posting on Facebook, just as a goof. I actually linked the article. Somebody from the Post, I forget her name, broke it all down, and Kyle Orton's numbers were better than Tebow's for the first five games to Tebow's last five games. So it's the hypocrisy is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what they do here in Denver. They try to run everybody out of the town that's not named John Elway. So
yeah, well.
Anyhow, I really thank you so much for your input, and I think it's a 10-point game, and I'm going to sit here and enjoy the rest of your show.
Well, no, thanks, but I appreciate your support.
But I'd like to ask you one question.
Yeah,
do you
sure.
feel this defense is – I think this defense was for real.
Look, I've been saying it all year. You could, I mean, they had a battle, some major, you know, go through some
exactly.
major renovations in the secondary. They really did. But I think you saw flashes of the defensive line, you know, making a push during certain games. Not every game. They were a little inconsistent. I'll give you that. And then Carter went down. But I just think right now all the Pistons, I'm going to sound like Gene Hackman and Hoosiers, Coach Dale, all the Pistons are firing right now. They're all firing. I think this team is loaded with confidence. And more importantly, they are mentally focused. They understand the challenge that is ahead of them. And I've seen it before. I didn't feel it as much last year or certainly not in 2009. But I saw it in 07 and the other years in 04 and 03. They are going to be a really tough team to beat the rest of the way. That's all I'm going to say. I think they're going to come together. I think Baltimore is going to be stunned at how well this Patriots defense plays on Sunday afternoon. I really believe that.
Thank you, Pete.
All right, my friend.
Have a great evening.
No, thank you. Appreciate it. 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. That's the number on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call me. Also, email me, webradio@patriots.com. I'm going to get to those right now. And also, Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Gene says, hi, Pete and Kevin. I believe Cam Cameron has never beaten Bill Belichick at Baltimore or at Miami or at San Diego. I see Cam Cameron is psyched out by this and he will be a factor in this game. Somehow Cam Cameron will screw up trying to outwit Bill and outwit himself. He is the Ravens' weak point and will do something in this game to turn it in the favor of the Patriots. Mark my word. Well, that's certainly a possibility. But certainly a possibility. The other thing, too, I mean, you know, and Ray Rice is right in one way. He's going to have to rush. For them to even be in this game, he's going to have to rush for 150-plus yards and get a couple of touchdowns. And if he does, he still may end up with 150 yards, and they still may lose by 20. I just don't believe that this Baltimore offense can keep up. And this Patriot defense, the way they're playing now, is a hell of a lot better than what they're getting credit for. And you still have these national numbnuts on television still talking about how they're ranked 31st. It's so absolutely nauseating because they've only looked at net yardage and not all the other stats I've been talking about for the last month. Hi, Pete and Kevin from Gene. CBS had Sue the Body Stomper as a guest analyst trying to improve Sue's image. All it did was get my wife to turn off the TV. So this week they were trying to get Tebow to improve CBS's image after the Sue debacle. My suggestion to CBS is why not stay in line with your image building program for stompers and hire Zane Beadle. Remember Beadle stomped on the Patriot lineman laying on the ground Saturday and got an 8-15-yard penalty for it. I think Mr. Beadle will be getting his NFL Western Union telegram Thursday, costing him a few bucks, and he should also expect missing a few games start next season. Yeah, I don't doubt that. My daughter is a Patriots fan, lives in Baltimore, and is surrounded by Ravens fans at work. She said Ravens fans in Baltimore are so afraid of Gronkowski and think Gronk is some kind of a crazy mutant and should be locked up. Why can't these Raven fans see Gronk like we do, a gentle, sensitive human being? I had this idea, and maybe you could pass it on to Bill. You know how Ray Lewis comes out before the game and does his little dance to fire up the crowd? Well, I thought maybe Gronk could come out before the game and spike a ball into the ground and have it explode to fire up the crowd. Well, listen, do we have Gronk today, Kevin? Do we have Gronk at all? He was pretty funny today.
You can roll him in the second half.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Not now.
I have the Flacco, as I refer to him.
The Flacco, yeah. But Gronk was priceless today during his prep. We're definitely going to play that. Priceless. And I guess there's a thing with some of the media out there now. They're trying to come up with a nickname for Gronk and Hernandez. And the best one I heard so far was Shake and Bake or Shake and Steak, I think, something like that. Something like that.
But, something where, like, Hernandez was the shake and Gronk was the big burly.
And also the Boston Tea Party, but the T spelled T-E for tight end. Yeah. So we'll see. Brian says, there seems to be a lot of question on the Ravens team right now. I mean, they seem equally insecure about their chances. Hell, Paul, Fred, Andy from PFW were thinking 60-40 that the Pats win. It seems like the Ravens think their chances are far lower. For a team who likes to be the underdog, they just seem perilously close to implosion. How can this team mentally focus for what's ahead when they're really questioning and taking shots at each other left and right? I don't get it. Even the Pats homers realize this is going to be a tough game. Maybe I'm just used to the Belichick system of treat your opponents with as much or more respect than you when your teammates. What do you think? Yeah, I mean, I do think that this Baltimore Raven team is one bad turnover away, maybe two, from completely falling apart. I just get that feeling. You know, I've seen teams like this before. It's not quite as bad as Rex Ryan and the Jets this week here for Baltimore. But I got to tell you, I'm sitting here, I'm stunned that Ed Reed makes these public comments, and I'm stunned at some of the responses. I really am. Ray Rice saying they have a fair chance if I get 25 catches or 25 touches. I don't know. I think there's a big confidence problem on this Ravens team, and it's just the opposite. With the Patriots. We have Flacco? All right, here's what Joe Flacco said earlier today, in case you missed it.
It's going to do the same thing that it did with Ray.
Oh, okay, that's all right.
Just because it sucks because it's NFL Network.
That's all right.
We're going to get it.
Well, of course we are. I could sing again.
unfortunately, it was so weird, Pete. Like, today was like any day that I have seen in my 2 years here. I mean, obviously, we didn't make it this far last year, so I hadn't gone through what they call, like, Championship Wednesday, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
This is
well, it's brutal.
So what happens is the league kind of, like, commandeers the entire site here.
Yeah.
And everything from, like, you know, the press conference backdrop to the format of the press conferences, like, everything gets changed.
You got the whole world tuning into Patriots.com.
So what happens is, like,
uploading and downloading stuff.
And everything gets, like, funneled through the league and NFL Network, so they almost have, like, a monopoly on it. So it has to go through that before it goes.
It goes right through your little Dell computer over there.
Yeah, I talked to him about it. I mean, it was a little funny to me, a little caught off guard, but it is what it is. We talked about it. It's not really that big of a deal. I mean, like, when I first saw it, I mean, I was probably like, yeah, well, you know, what's going on? But like I said, we talked about it. You know, we're a team around here. It's not really that big of an issue. I don't really take things, you know, that bad. It's Ed. It is what it is. You know, that's the kind of team we are. I mean, I wish those guys didn't have to come into my defense on all kinds of things. I mean, I don't really think they have to, but the way things are talked about, it just makes it so that, you know, somebody has to come out and say something. And, you know, those guys, you know, Terrell all along, you know, he knows how to go out there and kind of, you know, just stick up for all of us. Yeah, I mean, anytime you go into a road, you know, into a road playoff game, you know it's going to present its challenges and dealing with the crowd noise and things like that. But, and we face it all year long, you know, every road game we go in. We play a lot of good teams that have great crowds, and, you know, it definitely prepares us for something like this. I think 95% of the game, I've said it before, you know, you aren't really affected by it. And then, you know, if you let something happen, you know, then that's when you can get yourself in trouble. And you can let that be, you know, have a positive effect for the home team, I think, you know. But I think you have to do something, you know, mentally that wasn't very sharp in order to let that be a factor. I don't care. I'll be wearing a ring and we'll be holding a trophy and the perception probably won't change, but it doesn't really matter. Hey, look at who's won Super Bowls in the last handful of years. Great offenses. Defenses can step up, and you know, you can be a really, really good team with good defenses, but the bottom line is you have to have both. You have to be able to score points. You have to be able to stop teams. And, you know, you really have to be able to do it, you know, in tough games, on the road, and in a lot of different situations. I think you can win both ways. I think the majority of the time, I think it's an offensive game now. I mean, it really is. It's tough to argue that. Like I said, it can be both sides. A defensive team can win it, an offensive team can win it. If you were to bet, I would say I would definitely bet in the next 10 years more than five teams that, you know, are going to win it because they have good offenses, not good defenses. Basically, we're not very good on offense. You know, if you look at the statistics, and you know, you can say, hey, we don't score a ton of points, you know, we don't put up a ton of yards, but the bottom line is we get the job done. You know, we score points when we need to, and you know, we're really good in situational football. If we need to be really good in 2 minute, which we don't have a lot of chances at, you know, we're a really good 2 minute team, and I think that's been proven over the year. If we need to run the ball, we usually run the ball. If we need to throw the ball, we usually throw the ball. I wouldn't say that, like I said, we don't do a ton of things to be, you know, really explosive in the top of the league statistically, but you know, we have the ability to be a really good offense.
I've heard enough. Does that sound like a man who's confident coming into this game?
We're not very good on offense, Pete. Can
you find that part, that one clip again, that part again? Think about what he said earlier. He's like, I'll guarantee you that he thinks offenses win championships. You know, nowadays in the NFL, offenses win championships. He says that. And then goes on to say, we'll get in a second. Then goes on to say, seconds later, or a minute later, the ultimate contradiction. I tell you, this team is going to implode.
It's going to take me forever to get it back.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. But then he goes on to say, we don't have a very – you just heard it. Everybody just heard it. The world just heard it. We don't have a very good offense. That's out of the quarterback's mouth. We don't have a very good offense. Then you're screwed. Let me tell you. You are screwed. Unbelievable. 508-298-0398. Aaron Wilson from the Carroll County Times is going to join me in just a bit. I want to get to who's this, Mr. Liff?
Yeah, he said he wrote into you last week.
Oh, he did? Okay. I don't know what let's go to Mr. Liff on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Mr. Liff.
Hey, how you doing, Pete? I actually wrote in last week after you blessed us with that stellar ballad about the quarterback from the Broncos that his name I will not mention.
Oh, yeah, okay, I do remember. Thanks.
Yeah, yes, indeed. How you doing today, man?
Good, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And, you know, I want to echo your sentiments about this, about the Ravens being one play away from imploding.
These are scary comments that I'm hearing.
They really are. You know, it sounds like he's a bit scattered, a little bit you know, I don't want to say, you know, if we're crediting the Patriots as being mentally tough, he sounds mentally weak, you know. And, you know, I know that we can't, you know, take things from one year to the next, but I remember that AFC championship against the Steelers, you know, where the Ravens came out, looked great in the first half. I think they had one turnover and then looked awful in the second half and lost the game.
And the same thing against Indianapolis. Well, that game they lost, I think, 20-3.
Right. You know, I don't know, man. This is just the type of situation to me, you know, as a long time Patriots fan where, you know, all talk aside, it's just like, go out and just beat this team. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, I know that I try to not be too overconfident going into games, and I know anything can happen on any given Sunday. But to me, this is just one of these things where, you know, as a Patriots fan, I'm kind of standing back with my arms folded, you know, and just being like, okay, go handle this.
I think that's a great attitude to have because, you know, it'd be one thing if this was the Ravens giving the Patriots bulletin board material.
Right.
This is the complete antithesis of that. I don't ever remember a team before an AFC championship game sound less confident and be questioning at the worst time. And including the quarterback who's questioning his own, like you said, mental toughness, questioning his own offense. I'm like out of my mind. I'm trying to think if that ever happened here. how fan. I mean, think of put if you're a Patriots fan, imagine what is being said by Rice and Flacco and all these guys, and imagine their Patriot players saying that. We would be losing our collective minds right now. It's amazing
absolutely
to me.
We would absolutely. Yep. And you know, the only thing that I can come up with, like the cautious fan in me, you know, is just like, okay, are they trying to pull a Muhammad Ali and rope-a-dope us here, and just, you know, are they trying to, you know,
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Phantom stuff here to lull us to sleep, because I mean, it really, you know, you just kind of wonder what is going on in that organization. Why are these players even being allowed to chatter this way? But yeah. Anyway, Pete, I mean, look, I feel good about this game. I'm actually I'm in DC now handling some work, but I'm trying to make it up to Foxborough to actually go to the game. You know, still kind of on the prowl for some seats or whatever. But
you're just on the prowl. Forget about the seats.
Well, no. I plan to secure some tickets. I plan to secure some tickets, P. I've been to Super Bowls. I've never been to an AFC Championship, so I'm making that trip, and I'm going to be in the stadium.
I've been to both. The AFC Championship's overrated, trust me. No, I'm only kidding. No, it'll be great, except for the weather up here. I mean, the weather up here is supposed to be a mix of icy rain and then turn to snow. That's what I'm hearing.
I'm not worried. I was born and raised in Boston. I can deal with it, you know.
I know.
It's time for this team to go handle some business and put another piece of hardware up there in the stadium, in the trophy case. So I'm going to come and make sure that happens, you know.
All right, my friend. Well, thank you so much, and have a good safe trip if you come up. Good luck with the tickets.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks a lot. Let's take a quick break because we've got our guest coming up. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, Facebook me as well. I'll get to those a little bit later on. We're doing it live. It's the Pete Shepard Show from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. To me, the Ravens are on a collision course for destruction, and it may come before kickoff. We'll get thoughts from Aaron Wilson from the Carroll County Times, who covers the Ravens, right after this.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a Turbo Shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Back here on the Pete Shepherd Show here until 6 right here on Patriots.com, doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, where it was freezing outside today. Freezing! Lots of wind. Anyway, email me later on at webradio@patriots.com, Facebook me and call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And we head there right now and check in with Aaron Wilson from the Carroll County Times, who covers the Ravens. Good afternoon, Aaron. Thanks for taking a few minutes, my friend. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Pete.
Before we even talk about the game or what happened in the past or all that crap, I gotta tell you, I am... What is the mental state of this Baltimore Raven team right now? Because from Ed Reed's comments last night to the defense of him for most of the press conferences today by the guys that we all saw around here on NFL Network, to Joe Flacco saying we don't have a very good offense, I am blown away. What is the mental state of the Ravens right now? Because I don't know. They may have lost this game before kickoff.
I don't look at it that way. I think it's this is just kind of media stuff. With Ed, he sometimes says things off the cuff and will speak out of school, and he's done a little bit of damage control. He knows he screwed up, and behind the scenes, they're mad about it. John Harbaugh and Joe Flacco are not real thrilled about what's going on here, but they put out the fire. This isn't the first time we've had a media controversy with Joe Flacco, and there was a time when Terrell Suggs thought that Troy Smith needed to be playing more or be allowed to compete for the job with Joe Flacco, even though Troy was really, honestly, he was terrible. And Flacco is a first-round draft pick. I think there's undue criticism of him considering his record as a starter, 44-20 in the regular season, 5-3 in the playoffs. But, it's giving us a story, but it's not a real substantive one. It's just a lot of talk.
I understand that, but, I mean, to me, it's hard because around here during playoff games, regardless of what the turnout had been in the Patriots' favor, as you saw in 09 and before that, last year, and I've seen 03, 04, it's just odd to hear players during championship week come out and not throw bulletin board material for the opposing team, but throw it at your own team. Even Ray Rice today, I know it wasn't malicious what he said, and maybe he's 100% right, Aaron, but the part about I need to get 25 touches for us to be competitive, I don't know. I see a red flag there.
Yeah. They don't really worry as much probably as they do in New England about what players say. There's less, kind of muzzling of guys or disciplining of guys if they pop off and say something. They just kind of let guys say what they wanted, kind of freedom of speech thing. And they are a disciplined team. They didn't have a penalty last game or a turnover, but yet, sometimes guys say some things. We have some very colorful personalities here and some guys that have been in the NFL a long time, like Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, and Terrell Suggs, and they just kind of say what they want, and they have fun with the media thing, and sometimes they don't always say the right thing, and, you know, as far as what's out of the Coaching 101, you know, book, what you should say, but they just don't care about it. I mean, sometimes Harbaugh doesn't like it, and some of the more conservative players don't like it, but you know, it's not like they have a bad locker room. These guys are, you know, they really get along, guys hang out with each other. Joe has, you know, a lot of friends in the locker room, and he's a really quiet, you know, understated guy. Got married last summer, and his wife are expecting a kid, and he's just, you know, he's Joe. He hasn't changed much at all. Does it frustrate him? He doesn't get more respect? Yeah, it absolutely does. But I don't think that it's one of these situations where he won't play well because he's worried about do too much because of this comment and the controversy. I know it looks bad, but I just, from being around them all the time, first time this has happened, or, you know, I haven't really seen any real fallout from it. I think it's going to be kind of a, you know, maybe a media story for a while, but I think as far as the team, they put out the fire today and they'll move on.
All right, let's get into this game a little bit. And what's frustrating, and I've been talking about this for a while, I really get aggravated with national media and even some of the local guys around here. Every single NFL season is its own different entity. What happened in 2005 or 2008 or 2009 or 2010 has nothing to do with what's going to happen on Sunday. What I am stunned at, and I keep saying it over and over again, and I know it was a playoff game, but 2009 shouldn't even be brought up at all. It meant nothing. What I don't understand is why nobody brings up October 18th of 2010. Both don't mean anything to me. But at least that game, you had Gronkowski, Welker, and Hernandez playing in that game. And the one guy who was the big story in that game was Deion Branch. He's the one that had the big game. And I just don't understand why, if you're going to bring up 2009, that nobody brings up 2010. And even if the Ravens had won, I'd still say the same thing. At least you have much more of an accurate portrayal of what that team was all about. And Hernandez and Gronk were just puppies back then.
Right. You look for the relevance of games and you say, okay, you know, does that matter? Is Ray Rice going to run for 83 yards every time up the middle? You know, probably not. You know, Vince Wilfork is pretty good. But, I think that people are just going to compare things. I think every game kind of stands on its own, especially when you're talking about good teams like these.
All right, now this Ravens defense, I mean, it's a very good defense, a lot of big names. We understand all that. But also, I got to tell you, you know as well as anybody, that this team playing on the road, it was not the same team playing at home. And I compared this team, this Ravens team, to me, is very similar to what the Patriots were back in 2009, ironically, because Patriots were in a very similar situation. They look good at times, very good, but they had a real tough time, as you know, winning on the road. And you know what happened in the playoff game. Welker went down the game before in Houston. Why has it been a struggle this year at times, for four games at least?
I think they don't take some of the teams seriously, as they should, and they have a little bit of a mental block with some of the teams of losing records. And also, I think they maybe had a little too much fun on some of the road trips, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
So you don't think they were prepared?
Well, maybe a few guys, not the whole team, but I think there was enough of that that it wasn't the
You're talking about like curfew violations, or maybe not even violations. Partying too much during the week.
As early as you can.
Huh. That's interesting. Well,
I don't think that's that uncommon with a lot of football teams, though. You know, especially like when you go to a San Diego or something like that. I mean, they just got outplayed there. I don't think they matched up well at all. But when I look at Jacksonville, Seattle, I think they just came in a little bit cocky and. You know, it was a humbling experience for them, and they all the games is a common thread.
All right,
turnovers, ball behind early, and then Ray Rice wasn't involved. And when Ray Rice doesn't get enough touches, this offense is, you know, pretty much terrible.
Well, we saw that last week. I mean, Ray Rice, to be honest with you, I really thought Houston outplayed them for most of the game. I think anybody who watched that game from a neutral observer, because I didn't really care who won, but I really thought Houston, if it wasn't for that botched, you know, punt especially, the two picks that Yates threw were just horrible. I mean, great plays by the Ravens defense, but those were just terrible, terrible throws, which you expect by a third string quarterback. But how do you see this matchup happening, and how do you think the Ravens right now, as currently constituted, are going to be able to defend the Patriots, their two tight ends, obviously, you know about, and Branch, and even if 85 gets out there. He still can't be ignored, even though they only threw, even though he was out there one play last week. He's still one of those guys that you really can't ignore. How are the Ravens right. going to handle this Patriot offense, in your opinion?
They're going to try to bring a little more blitz pressure. I think they're going to attack Matt Light. Terrell Suggs has had some decent games against him before, and you know, he's a pretty good pass rusher. Haloti not really at 100%. That's hurting them a little bit. He's not on the injury report, but he's been slowed by a leg injury all year. And I think in terms of matching up with the guys in the secondary, there's a rookie corner named Jimmy Smith. I think he might be an X factor here because he's 6'2", he's 210, he likes to play press coverage. And I could see them trying to line up even a corner on some of these tight ends when they flex out. So I would look for that. And, you know, they're going to have to tackle these guys, and that's the big problem with Ed Reed because he doesn't have a good shoulder and his neck is bothering him. That's going to be tough. So, you know, ultimately, I think New England wins a close football game, but Baltimore, you know, they won't let Tom Brady do what he did to the Broncos and anything like that. But I would imagine that unless they get a lot of pressure on Tom Brady and they can jam these tight ends and receivers and play physical with them, then yeah, it's going to be very tough for them to stay in it. And if it becomes a shootout, I don't really like their chances because they don't have that dynamic of an offense to match Tom Brady touchdown for touchdown. So, yeah. I haven't put my prediction up yet, but I'm pretty much leaning toward picking New England to win probably by about 7 to 10 points.
Oh, that's fair. I picked New England by at least 10, but I got to be honest with you. What I heard today in the locker room, and I know you're dismissing it a little bit, but I don't know. I got to be honest with you, Aaron. It just sounds to me like it's – not saying it's going to happen. It's possible mm-hmm. that if things go badly early – for Baltimore, that this team might implode before our very eyes.
I do. I mean, you know, it's easier for me to say because I'm around them all the time and been covering them since 01, but this is not the first time we've had something like this and then they played fine. These things don't seem to bother these guys much, and I know it's probably seems very strange to people from New England because this wouldn't happen in New England. You know, they don't have a lot of these kind of things, except I guess getting back to maybe when Randy Moss was trying to talk his way off the team, but yeah. You know, it doesn't happen. That doesn't say that they're like undisciplined and, you know, flamboyant down here, but they are a little bit. There's some very, you know, colorful personalities down here and guys that just say whatever they want. And yeah, I mean, it's a little different. They just, mm-hmm. you come in here and they do let you be yourself. That was the way it was under Brian Billick. It's that way still for the most part under John Harbaugh. And they just, that's how they roll here. That's just, I don't think that it will really be a factor in the game.
And certainly, I mean, the Ravens have, you know, Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith, certainly they can be dangerous against anybody. And certainly net yardage-wise, the Patriots have given up a lot of net yards this year, although that stat to me is the most overblown statistic in all of the NFL. However, one thing...
Point scored is the one I care about.
Yeah, exactly.
How many points do you give up? Yeah, they're very good at that.
Yeah, I mean, they're right in the middle of the pack, and they're also...
I just watch out for Ray Rice. I mean, you know, Ray Rice has done fairly well against New England, and if he gets on a roll, then he can kind of take over a game at times. I mean, they've got Jerod Mayo to try to counteract him, and, you know, I remember Jerod had a pretty good hit on Ray when they were rookies in a preseason game, and it welcomed him to the NFL, mm-hmm. but yeah, I could see... If they can come up with a good game plan, maybe flex Rice out a little bit, throw him a lot of swing passes, get him on some of these zone stretch plays, that's where they can really make a difference. I don't think that Joe Flacco will do much more than be a game manager with a few shots taken here and there. They've really changed things as far as who the focal point of the offense is. It's all about Ray Rice. And if New England shuts him down or slows him down, they have a very good chance to win the game.
All right, Aaron, thanks so much. I know you're busy, and if you're coming up this way, dress warm because they're talking about icy rain turning to snow at some point during the game, so it'll be a mess, but you're used to that. Yeah, I mean, Baltimore's not like it's balmy yeah. in Baltimore either, but it's going to be a mess up here.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm glad I'm coming in Saturday morning into Providence, and hopefully the weather will be good enough to fly up there and just bundle up. It should be a good one.
All right, Aaron, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Steve.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Aaron Wilson from the Carroll County Times here on the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com. And, you know, again, I'm going to – look, I've respectfully disagree with a lot of my guests I've had on this year, and I'll be honest with you, I've been right most of the times. I've heard – I mean, I can't remember. I mean, if you go back for the guy – what's his name from Pittsburgh I had on, he was so far off. Guy for Miami – I mean, some of these guys – I mean, just look at the reality. And I don't care what he's heard before in the locker room. I'm sorry. this team is one turnover away from major implosion. You can just see, you can feel it. And I know, I understand what he's saying, that Billick and these guys, you know, they get to be free thinkers. That was a little shot, but you know, that we, that the Patriots don't let. No, the Patriots, you throw bulletin board material at your own team. I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm kind of stunned that John Harbaugh has not put the kibosh on that. And what's really surprising, how about this guy? How about when Aaron said, he basically said too much partying going on before some of these games. I mean, that's what he basically accused them of. And that's the way I took it. I mean, am I wrong? I mean, that's what he basically said. He said, talk about Jacksonville, Seattle, San Diego. He's like, yeah, well, a lot of those times, you know, a lot of teams that go through that, I don't think so. Not teams that win. And the Flacco paranoia stuff, please. Because I tell you, if he gives up a pick early, if he turns into Tebow early and gives up a, if he gets strip sacked by Ninkovich or somebody early on, or gives up a bad pick, and I think he's gone, I think you can expect at least three turnovers from the Ravens in this game. I'm going to say two picks and a fumble. But I really believe that's what's going to happen. They want Flacco to throw the ball. And I do agree. I mean, this is going to be all about Ray Rice, I think, for the most part. Got to stop him early, and I think they will. There haven't been a lot of great runners against the Patriots. Yes, I know what happened in Denver, that one quarter for 167 yards, but that was an aberration because they only got 86 yards total after that. And you saw what happened in the rematch. And Chung and Spikes are back. Like I said, I'm doing the Norman Dale thing. I think this team is firing on all pistons right now, and they are going to be a tough, tough team to beat. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Kev, you're going to have to reset my screen again. I'm sorry. That's what happens. Every 10 minutes, if I don't take an email, then it goes to neutral. Email me, webradio at patriots.com, Facebook me. And on Facebook, Lucio says, you should have a better Twitter war with Rob Parker. I'm so fed up with all the nonsense, but that the Patriots can't win with a Super Bowl with the defense. No, he says the point difference Vegas has on the Pat Baltimore game is too big. All he needs now is bring up Spygate when we win the conference. And well, that's, he's going to keep doing that and doing that and doing that. So, I said my piece about Rob Parker yesterday. I think he's arrogant. I don't think he does his homework. He's just, it's all flash over substance. I really don't. And you can debate. I welcome him to come on the show any day, any time, any place, so I can destroy him. Because they won't do it on ESPN. They do it just enough, and today they had Skip Bayless on First Take with Terrell Suggs, and it was childish, back and forth. It was childish. It wasn't entertaining. He thought he was going to bait Suggs into this big war about Brady and get him to say a lot of stupid things. I give Suggs credit for just calling Bayless a spineless twit, basically. But I mean, it was bad. That was bad television today. Expecting more out of that show with Suggs on and everything, but he tried to get in a pissing match with him. He tried to lure Suggs into a pissing match. It didn't work. Let's see. Who's this from? Cody says, hey guys, I'm a huge college student up here in Nova Scotia. My name's Cody, and I'm a huge Patriots fan, and unfortunately I don't have the chance to call in during the show. I'm a huge fan. But watching the NFL pregame on NFL Network, someone really pissed me off. Marshall Faulk was giving his bit, and at the end he said, also a big thing for this playoff game is that the Patriots also lost their cameraman, reference Spygate. And when will this crap end? I personally think he should be removed, but I'm just pissed. I want to know what you think of that. And all the stupid people going on Spygate. Also, I'm pumped for the championship game, but I'm not as high as everyone else. I know it won't be a 30-point win. I'm not so sure about that. Unfortunately, I know it will be a one-score game, and those don't usually go our way. I'm hoping we pull out. Love your work, guys. And Fred, for God's sake, please read this. You guys are the best. My girlfriend will never let me live it down if she doesn't hear this when we listen after class. And please don't put me in the doghouse. No, I read it, Cody. I don't know if you meant it for Fred or me. It just seems pretty new, so it just came down. No, Marshall Faulk, I've talked about him time and time again, Cody. He's a waste of time. Now, Deion Sanders, incredibly, has picked the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. Incredibly has. But, you know, Marshall Faulk has had, you know, has had a vendetta out for the Patriots. He's still going to get over the fact that they lost in 2001. Well, technically 2002. Marshall Faulk, irrelevant. Again, agenda-driven. Agenda-driven. Higgy and Hopkinton says, I'm usually good at these. Oh, good. These are the nicknames just coming up. Flush and crush for Anderson and Carter, but I only have about 2 minutes. Some ideas for Gronk and Hernandez. Smith and Wesson. Gronk and Hernandez. Jack Johnson, Tom O'Leary from Anchorman. Optimus and Prime for Gronk and Hernandez. And Big and Bigger. Great show. F the Ravens, go Patriots. Gene says, hey, why did he say he always has to deal with the opponent's media? What is he, crazy? All this crap was generated by his own team and his own Baltimore media. Don't blame us for your problems. Totally. Trust me. My good friend Aaron Wilson, who I've never met face to face, I could have really gotten into him, really gotten into it about it, because this was nothing to do with the New England media. This is all his own guys. This is all his own teammates. And I'm not sure. I don't remember the Ravens coming out and saying this kind of stuff before. I don't know about you, Kay. I just don't remember it. I don't remember the kind of comments and quotes being out of that Baltimore locker room. But I'm sorry. If you're a Baltimore Raven fan, you can't be happy. You cannot be happy with what you're hearing. It sounds like a complete lack of confidence to me. And the quarterback has even said it. Pete, once again, you're spot on. This is from Omar in Atlanta. Pete, once again, you're spot on in your analysis. You must have Marty McFly's scorebook or something, because he makes sense more than anyone on the sports channels. As I like to say, irregardless. The nickname for our beloved tight end duo should be the Two Towers. If someone could come up with that already, then I agree with them. All right. Thank you for that. Thanks for the kind words. Mike says, from Nashville, Pete, I want to share a funny exchange from the CBS staff during halftime of the Broncos game. Shannon Sharp was spouting off about the Broncos making a comeback in the second half when Dan Marino interrupted and said, the only way the Broncos make a comeback is if Tom Brady plays quarterback for him in the second half. My wife and I busted out with laughter. Love your show. Thanks for doing your homework and keeping it real. And Bill and Tom, we trust. Mike, I know. I heard that. It was hysterical. Well, that's because Shannon Sharp, like a bonehead, picked the Patriots 27-24 because he played for them. And he'll pick Baltimore by, he'll say Baltimore this week by 20-17. You can mark it down. I will be shocked. Not necessarily chagrined, but shocked if Shannon Sharp picks the Patriots to win. He will pick Baltimore. And Brian Billick has been picking Baltimore since before the season started. It's not objective. It's not objective analysis. None of those guys. If these comments were coming out of the Patriots locker room that they are from the Ravens, oh, my goodness gracious. They'd already have Bill and out of town. They'd be talking about blowing it up and starting all over again. The hypocrisy that exists in the national media is a joke. It really is. It really is. Thank God I censored myself. We have to get Tebow swearing sometime. There's got to be something out there, Tebow swearing. Brian says, so Greg Rosenthal over on Professional Football Talk has an article up about the Patriots injury report and lists Hernandez concussion and Brady DNP. I wrote a comment and said Hernandez is fine because of league rules stating a player can't talk to the media after a game if they have a concussion. He spoke with the media. He's fine. Also mentioned that Brady has been listed as a possible shoulder injury for most of his career, and the moderators removed the post. So I rewrote, copied it. I told them if they remove it again, I'll just repost it. Bunch of children trying to hype up something that's nothing. Absolutely. That kind of crap happens all the time. Yep. Yes, Tom Brady did not practice today. Left shoulder, which he's, had that problem forever. And it was a little bit of an issue earlier this year, or one part a few weeks ago, but nothing big. He'll practice tomorrow. As I said, the rest are all limited. Branch, Cannon, Chong, Fletcher, Hernandez, Adeyebo, Love, Mankins, Nikovic, Solder, Spikes, Vollmer, Welker, and White. All those guys limited. Arrington, Conley, and Slater, full participation. Over on the Ravens side, only Ed Reed was limited today. He's the only one listed. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. I'm moving right along. Bob from Worcester, I found you. Glad to see you've landed on your feet. Flacco and Harbaugh will be muttering this Sunday the same thing Tebow and Fox were muttering last Sunday night. Son of a bitch, it's Ninkovic. P.S. Tell Fred and Steam I'm alive and well and said hello. Your old buddy Bob in Worcester. Bob used to be the first caller on the Real Post Game Show. And you remember him. He'd go, Bub, he'd just go, Freddy, Petey, whatever. He's, you know, that kind of thing. Good fan. Bob's a good fan. Again, you can call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline as well, 508-298-0398. Jay says, hey, Pete and Kevin, it's Jay from Lakeland, Florida. If the defense played like last week, I'm so sure they will win again against the Ravens. We have to be the physical. We have to be physical against them. They have no passing game and only relying on one person, Ray Rice. We have Aaron, Rob, Wes, Chad, and too many to list that will give them their poison. So pick. Oh, love your show. Big fans. Thank you very much, Jay from Lakeland, Florida. Really appreciate it. Moving on. Kyle says, hey, Pete, I think the Ravens and the Jets are built similar to each other. They both try to pride themselves on defense and have quarterbacks that whine more than win and continue to live in the shadow of Big Brother in their division. They both like to fall apart in the AFC Championship, ha-ha. Anyway, keep up the great show. Go Pats. Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. That's what I said. I mean, they're not quite where they are with Rex Ryan yet. You know, I mean, John Harbaugh, I don't think will ever be Rex Ryan. You've heard John Harbaugh already. I mean, just a tremendous amount of respect. And that could, and I'm wondering, is this possible also, despite all the praises they've given the Patriots? See, to me, it's a combination of a few things here. Are they giving the Patriots too much respect? And there is no question there was something internally wrong with this team. And you heard, even Aaron admitted it. Aaron Wilson from the Carroll County Times says, there are players and coaches bothered by what Ed Reed said. This is not going to go away. It's not. And I guarantee you, if they start off poorly, and I think they're going to, the Ravens, I really do. You know, this is all going to be brought up. This could be a major, major problem for them. I'm not trying to, you know, escalate it. I don't remember. I don't care what Aaron Wilson said about being around this team's happened before. I don't remember hearing quotes like this come out of many locker rooms before AFC or NFC title games. I just don't remember teams ripping on their own coaches and on their quarterback, guys saying I about I need this, I need that. I'm stunned. I think the Ravens are already are defeated. I really believe that. It's amazing. I mean, I think they're in serious trouble. I thought they were in serious trouble anyway. Now I'm convinced of it. Their quarterback said today, we don't have a good offense. He said it. Ray Rice. I need to touch the ball 25 times for us to have a fair chance. That's what he said. We know what Ed Reed said. He thinks the offense stinks.
Hello.
Hello. Gene says, "Hi, Pete and Kevin. I believe the O penalty is not a reflection of better play. The no penalties by is not a reflection of better play by the Ravens. I think it is more a result of the way the refs are calling the playoffs and letting them play. The refs seem like they do not want to be the ones to decide a game, and I like that. Well, I don't know about that, Gene. They had a couple of bad calls in the Giant-Packer game on both sides. No, I give the Ravens a lot of credit. I think it's tough to go through an NFL game without getting a penalty. I think that's remarkable discipline by them last week against Houston. That had nothing to do with it. I mean, they still got outplayed. I mean, Baltimore was clearly outplayed last week in that game. By a lot. By a lot. They just, you know, they could have overcome the two Yates interceptions. They were horrible. They couldn't overcome that, you know, being down early. What was it, 17-3? That bad, you know, after they took the lead, they gave up an easy touchdown on that botched punt. Horrible. Was it Douglas, I think, botched it? Let's see. This is from Mary says, Pete, let's take what these guys say with a grain of salt. They are either just plain stupid or they're trying to play head games with us. Based on the Suggs statement back in January questioning our Super Bowl victories, have not been forgotten. To play any competitive game successfully, you have to be thick-skinned and with a short memory. We are thick-skinned and have short memories. Let me contradict myself by saying Tom Brady doesn't forget anything. Patriots 38, Ravens 14. Stopping Denver as we did is just going to continue with Rice. Yeah. And that's the kind of score that may very well happen, Mary. You may very well be correct. Well, tell you what, we're going to take a quick break and reset here and then come back to the final segment of the Pete Shepard Show. Been flying by again. 5-0. We're going to hear from Rob Gronkowski, too, when we come back. Stay tuned for this. It's pretty good. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call me at the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com. Email me there and Facebook me as well. I will get to your emails, and we'll hear from Patriots tight end, the Gronker, coming up after this in the Pete Shepherd Show right here on patriots.com.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Gear up for the AFC Championship at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Everybody.
The Jets are doing on the golf course, somewhere warm probably, but they are sitting home watching the AFC Championship game this week between the Ravens and Baltimore, Ravens and the Patriots here at Foxborough. And that's a good thing. Makes me happy. 508-298-0398. You're going to hear from Gronk in just a little bit to close out the show. Lucio says, I don't want to get off topic with the whole Ravens story but on Facebook, but now that the Colts fired that fraud Caldwell, you think they might cut ties with Manning? I know this is hypothetical, but where would he best be fitted? Where would he fit best? I think you're trying to say. Thanks. Again, March 8th, that's the day. Circle it. That's where he's owed $26 million, include that $12 million signing bonus. So that's the day. That is the day to circle on your calendar. And again, you look at the Polian firings, like, you look at it two ways. Did Ursay fire him because he didn't want Manning around, and was going to trade him, or did he fire him because he did want Manning around and was going to trade him? My guess is, my gut feeling is they're going to keep Peyton Manning, and it's going to be a mistake. That's my gut feeling. I could be wrong, but we'll know March 8th when he gets that money or not. And where would be the best fit for Peyton? Well, I think he makes any team better, but there's always going to be that in back of your head, it's just one more hit before he's done for good. That's a problem. Let's see. Lundell says, sorry, but Aaron, meaning Aaron, my guest, Aaron Wilson from the Keller County Times, Aaron is completely off topic. I think he's underestimating the situation. I'm predicting a big win for us. Mark it down. Patriots 40, Ravens 7. Mark it down, Pete. He goes on to say, I told the PFW guys at the beginning of the season, and of course Paul and mostly Andy, not that I'm taking easy shots at them, but I said that the Ravens are very selfish, immature, impulsive, compulsive, and erratic. You are right on the money, Pete. Well, we'll see. I think he's taking it a little too lightly. Hi, Pete and Kevin. Says Yahoo is saying Manning will retire. Gene in Daytona. Is that true? Have to check that out. I've got NFL Network on right in front of me.
It's not true. It's just the actor Rob Lowe or whatever.
Oh, started. Rob Lowe said.
He started like this rumor on Twitter, people have talked to like Archie Manning and whatever, and they aren't confirming anything.
He's not retiring. It's so ridiculous. Ridiculous. Anyway, email me, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Well, maybe we'll do that tomorrow. I know it's a couple days old, but yesterday I posted on my Facebook page about the sad Packer fan. I don't know if a lot of you heard that. I don't know. Can we punch that up, Rob? Or is it too much of a pain in the butt for you? Punch what up? I go on my Facebook page and punch up the sad Packer fan.
Let me see if I can find it.
It's right on my – not the first. There's a second – there's one more close to the top, but I don't want that one because there's F-bombs in that. I don't want that going over there. But the other one has it says, forgot to put this up yesterday. But I know a lot of locals.
The one you showed me, right?
Yeah, the one I showed you. And it's this is right after the game, in the car.
I don't know where my hand is, Julie. If anybody else here told me to put the sparkle light in it. And they lost.
Pause a second.
It was the Super Bowl.
Okay, so this taking place. There's two young ladies in the car, and there's somebody in the back seat filming this. This is not staged or anything like that. You can tell the ones that are.
She's not a looker either, Pete.
She's about, I don't know, 19, 20 years old, 21. I don't know. I can't tell. But it's definitely real. It's this young lady who has just absolutely lost it, and she's blaming initially about wearing sparkles on her fingernails. But go ahead, continue. It gets worse, but it's very funny.
Casey. And then because you told me to put the sparkles on my nails.
I'm sorry. Don't cry.
No, it's your fault. You told me to do the sparkles. I told you not to do the sparkles, and you told me to do it. It's pretty. I don't care about pretty. I wanted the package with the Super Bowl, Megan.
Megan. Oh, my God.
Stupid. And I wore my Clay Matthews jersey, and I said, let me wear my Aaron Rodgers jersey. You said no.
No. Sorry, cheeseheads. Oh, my God. That is just too funny. Too freaking funny. Oh, my goodness. All right, before we go, I'm going to wrap up the Pete Shepard Show with Gronk as we head out today. I want to remind everybody, say thank you very much once again for calling in and checking in. It's been great. Tomorrow I'll make my predictions. I'll give you both Xbox predictions and get all your thoughts as well about who you'd rather play, the Giants or the San Francisco 49ers, if the Patriots should get to the Super Bowl again. I'm not sitting here guaranteeing anything. I am saying I think I think the Ravens mentally are not focused right now. Maybe that can change in 48 hours. What happened today and yesterday is not good, the mental preparation for a football team. But we shall see. So thanks, everybody. Thanks to my guest, Aaron Wilson from the Carroll County Times, who revealed some pretty decent information about the Ravens maybe partying too much during road games this year at times, and says this kind of stuff, locker room stuff, is common with them, and that we shouldn't make a big deal out of it over here because they have free speech in Baltimore, and apparently in Massachusetts we don't. We digress. All right, here's the Gronker from today. Thanks for everybody. Thanks to Kevin Collins, and I'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock right here on Patriots.com. Here's Gronk.
In the past, like, if you have a good game, I mean, that's all over with, and you just got to keep moving on forward to the future and make sure you have a good practice week. Make sure you're working hard during the practice week so when you go out to game time, you're prepared and give the best that you have, and that's all that counts.
What's jumping out for you on film when you look at the Baltimore game?
I mean, they just have overall a great defense. I mean, they got a great big, they got a lot of great big players. They're all fast and they're all skilled and they can all cover and they can all play well. So we just got to be ready for them. And they're physical too. It's going to be a physical game and we got to make sure we're ready.
What impresses you most about Ed Reed?
He can just cover so much ground. It's unbelievable. I mean, just from the left side of the field he could be at and he can go make interception on the right side of the field. So, I mean, just unbelievable his talent, how fast he can move across the field.
A lot of people point to you and Aaron as the primary difference makers in this game.
I mean, that's definitely not what's going to make the game win or loss. I mean, it's overall a team game, and that's all that matters, and we just got to make sure we go out as a team and we all play together as a team, and whoever's making the plays makes the plays, and just basically go out. You got to have a good run game and a good pass game, and that's all that matters, and the defense plays well, and all that matters is about the whole team.
How much of a challenge do you think it is for defenses, with you and Aaron, the ability to line up in so many different spots on the field? Obviously, Aaron is a running back the other day. What kind of a pressure does that put on the opposing defense?
It definitely puts a lot more of a pressure on the opposing defense. Having weapons like that, you can run the ball out of the backfield here and line up at wide receiver, line up at tight end. I mean, puts a lot of pressure. You just don't know what's going to come, and that's what's great about playing in this offense. And we just got to make sure we have a good practice week, we get prepared, and we know what we're doing out there.
Should we going to see you lining up in the backfield anytime?
I wish.
You and Aaron have kind of competed against one another since high school. Is it weird to have them when you guys kind of got picked to play here that kind of have the same locker rooms next to each other?
Yeah, it was definitely weird at first. I mean, we always knew about each other and everything. But, I mean, it's been like 2 years now. We're buddies now. We're good buddies. We have a lot of fun together, and that's all in the past. And we don't even think about it anymore, really, that we were competing against each other. I mean, we're just trying to help each other out now. We're just trying to get to the same goal, and that's be working hard every day and just be focusing on every game that we have the upcoming week.
What do you like about his game?
How he just so versatile. I mean, he can do so many different things, and he's so quick. He can jab in and out, and that's just impressive to me.
Do you allow yourself to get excited about
the game? What was that?
Do you allow yourself to get excited?
Oh, yeah. You got to get excited. I mean, this is a big game. It's an AFC Championship game. How can you not be excited? I mean, going out to practice, that's what's motivating you. Just all the excitement that's going on and everything. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And obviously, can't wait for the game, but we got a big practice week right here. And I'm excited. What's up?
Why did you settle on the sweat? Last year you put up a handshake and a high five. Why did you settle on the sweat?
Because all the fans liked it. I just kept with it.
The first time you put it.
Pete Shepard, the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com Radio.